Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, April 3rd, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A pro-life group remains concerned over Planned Parenthood's involvement in health instruction at Blatchley Middle School last fall, even though the curriculum is no longer being taught. The Sitka Southeast Alaska Coalition for Life Tuesday night presented the school board with a letter signed by 150 residents expressing shock over the participation of Planned Parenthood and recommending the postponement of instruction in human sexuality until a consensus can be reached on how best to teach it. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Ed Gray was spokesman for the group. The topic was not on the agenda. The school board took comments under persons to be heard.
Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States and promotes a form of sex education, which among other things considers the abortion pill and surgical abortion to be forms of birth control.
Yvonne Cordouan had not signed the group letter, but submitted one of her own. She also objected to the involvement of Planned Parenthood and favored an approach to sex education based on moral values.
Our generation decided that the moral values and expectations of our parents' generation were a little bit old-fashioned and stilted, and so we tossed them out and we joined the generation, entered the generation of free love, be true to yourself, do your own thing. What we did not realize is that freedom is not the liberty to do what we want.
There was also testimony from two members of the public, Janine Brooks and Davey Lubin, in strong support of comprehensive health education, and testimony from one student, Michael Boos, who asked for more youth participation in developing policy on the subject. The anti-Planned Parenthood sentiment was also evident at a Blatchley PAC meeting on the subject in February. Yet then, as now, Planned Parenthood did not develop or implement the Blatchley Health Curriculum. Pacific High co-principal Sarah Ferency is a board member of Planned Parenthood Northwest.
That organization has been vilified in ways that are not accurate. And so I don't know how familiar many of you are with what's being taught. I would highly encourage you to go talk to Mr. White and ask to see it, because it's doing what you're asking it to do. All of these programs are abstinence-based.
I spoke with Blatchley Principal Ben White following the board meeting. He confirmed that the two programs, Flash in the 6th grade and Wyman Top in the 7th grade, were taught in the fall. Flash stands for Family Life and Sexual Health. The program was created by the King County Health Department in Seattle and is widely used across Alaska. Top stands for Teen Outreach Program. Wyman is a St. Louis-based nonprofit whose program has been endorsed by the U.S. Department of Health. I found detailed information about both in a 3-minute search on the internet. Both Flash and Top require a trained instructor. In Sitka, the only qualified instructor was Emily Riley, who was also director of the local Planned Parenthood office. Kristen Homer is a registered nurse and Blatchley parent who offered some short-term health instruction in the last school year. She told the board that Top was more comprehensive.
What it went over was values clarification, relationships, communication, assertiveness, goal setting, decision making, and human development and sexuality.
Flash and Top were discontinued at Blatchley when Emily Riley became unavailable to teach them, and Principal Ben White could find no qualified replacement. Instead, he sent his two physical education teachers to Anchorage for a 2-day training in a program called Fourth R. The R stands for relationships. The program was developed in Canada and has been adopted by the Alaska Department of Education. White says Blatchley 8th graders have been receiving Fourth R instruction every Thursday since January from either his PE instructors or from Elena Gustafson, a staff member at the Safe Shelter. In persons to be heard, the school board cannot act on or reply to comments made by the public. Some members instead responded during their reports. Tanya Ryu said she respected the views of the parents who spoke on both sides of the issue, but she stood behind the programs. 23 years ago, Ryu herself was in middle school in Sitka.
My 2 years at Blatchley, I saw no less than 4 girls get pregnant, and the majority of them was from people who were over 21. You know, that's a problem. That's a problem those girls needed to know healthy relationships, and they needed more than someone popping in for a week teaching about sex education.
Board Member Cass Pook echoed some of Ryu's remarks, but said that people all held different core beliefs. She felt that as a member of the faith community, it was possible to move forward and find something that everyone could agree on. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw, however, did not want to build up expectations around full agreement. He had recently had a 90-minute meeting with the Sitka Coalition for Life.
I hesitate to use the word consensus because I'm not sure in today's society that we're going to be able to get there.
Bradshaw said that honest conversation about what was best for kids was what education is all about. The board offered to schedule more time in the future to discuss the issue further. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And now that the dust has settled following this year's Sacro herring fishery, which closed Saturday, KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports on what herring season looks like when you're a managing biologist standing in the middle of it all.
Each year, the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery starts and ends with this voice.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the fishery will occur in approximately 1 minute. 1 minute, stand by for countdown.
That's biologist Dave Gordon with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Gordon and his team are responsible for managing Sitka's commercial herring fishery, one of the most lucrative fisheries in Alaska, as fast-paced and volatile as it is controversial. Each year, Gordon and his team predict the biomass, or the amount of herring they think will return to Sitka. They set the harvest level, or the amount of fish that seiners will be allowed to catch. In the spring, they fly over the waters of Sitka Sound every day, watching for signs of herring, and announce when the season will open. It's on their say-so that the boats converge on Sitka, coming from around southeast, from Puget Sound, or across the Gulf of Alaska. They decide when there will be an opening, and where. And then Gordon counts it down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, open. The Sitka Sound Sacro Fishery is now open.
There is a lot riding on their decisions. Over the last decade, the value of the commercial herring fishery to fishermen averaged a total of about $7 million, though this year the fleet faced a weaker market. And then there's intense scrutiny from those who worry that the herring harvest is unsustainable and argue that there should be no commercial fishery at all. Gordon has been doing this work for 18 years. Asked if it ever keeps him up at night, he said,
It kind of does. It's a little, you know, when you look at the machinery involved in this fishery and the, you know, the tenders and the planes and the seiners.
That's the 48 seiners doing the actual fishing, plus the tenders that deliver the fish to the processors, plus the spotter planes flying overhead to scout for herring, not to mention the test boats sampling the fish and skiffs zooming around to deliver samples or count the catch.
So the amount of money that's been invested in this fishery.
Which is a lot. The state estimates that the price of a permit, that's the cost just to enter this fishery, is now over $400,000.
It's, there's some time. You try not to dwell on it too much and think about it. But it's, it definitely does keep you up at night sometimes.
It's 11 a.m. on March 24th.
Attention participants in the Sitka Sound Sacro Fishery. This is Department of Fish and Game aboard the Kestrel. We're in Eastern Channel right now.
The day after the second opening in the Sitka herring fishery. There's no fishing today as processors work through the previous day's catch. Gordon is on the state research vessel, the Kestrel. He's surrounded by half a dozen other fish and game biologists, some of whom have flown in from around southeast to help out during herring season. The Kestrel is doing its daily survey of Sitka Sound.
So we're kind of just doing a zigzag pattern here for Dave to see where these little buggers are.
That's Captain Lito Skeek.
You want me to go on the inside, Dave, or should I take the outside?
Just go
wherever.
Down, Lito.
Wherever we can find them, huh?
Skeek is watching the boat's sonar for the telltale red blotches that indicate the Kestrel is passing over a ball of herring. The Kestrel is mapping these schools and looking for predators like whales and sea lions that might indicate where else the herring are gathered. It's all so they can make a decision about where and when to hold the next opening.
And you're running around from here to there trying to find that opportunity and the time. The day's just going by quickly, and you know that, you know, every day that goes by that you don't make progress, that you're one day closer to the spawning happening. So
timing is everything. The Sitka fishery is a sacro fishery, meaning the herring must be caught while the eggs are still inside the females, in that sliver of time after the eggs mature but before the herring spawn. Once Gordon and his team think they have a large enough volume of mature fish, they call an opening. Asked if he had ever called an opening, counted down, and then found no fish, Gordon said,
Yes. a number of times, actually, and those are probably some of the more painful moments as far as openings go. There's no fish, there's no nets in the water, everybody's kind of getting on the radio and kind of unhappy with the situation. You have a whole fleet that's mobilized between the seiners and the tenders and the spotter planes, a lot of fuel being burned, a lot of people, you know, putting on their gear and getting ready to do something, and then there's no fish. So that's just the way it is. It's herring, yeah.
Throughout the opening, Gordon keeps a running tally of the catch as Fish and Game staff run skiffs from net to net, calling in estimates of how much each boat has caught. Once Gordon sees the fleet is approaching the target for that day, he closes the fishery, usually with just 5 minutes' notice. And then, again, he counts it down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, closed. The Sitka fishery is now closed. The Sitka Sacro fishery is now closed. This is Department of Fish and Game, Channel 10.
When the season ends, most of the seiners leave town, and the Kestrel leaves town too, but she'll be back. Later in April, Fish and Game will field a team of divers to survey this year's herring spawn. Those surveys are used to estimate the herring biomass and build the model for next year. And then they'll do it all over again. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. You can also read comments on our stories on Facebook by clicking on the Facebook link. And you can have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer by clicking on the Twitter link. 34 degrees in downtown Sitka under clearing skies. Stay tuned for NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back with you at 8:18 a.m. with a live interview with Mary Miller and Becky Latanich from the National Park Service about an Arctic